Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome in to the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. Your hair is looking spectacular. How are we doing?
Well, thank you. Yeah. I got a new product too. So thanks for noticing that.
You're very welcome. Michelle, how are you?
Just standy, guys. 10 days till Christmas and still got to get on that shopping. So great. Doing great.
I started yesterday. Feeling good.
This is the earliest
I've started in a long time.
We've motivated you. Yeah.
I guess I realized how poor of a gift giver I am yesterday and the choice is yours. And I'm taking preventative action so far this year, Joe. Getting an early start.
Yeah, I mean, the 14th, For anybody who doesn't listen to our first segment, I somehow am basically done right now, but it never happens. Never happens. So to actually start shopping this early to me that's amazing, man. I applaud you.
Well, thank you very much. Joe, we ended the show yesterday with the discussion on Jalen Hyatt and the announcement that he was to make yesterday afternoon. And Jalen Hyatt did make an announcement. He is foregoing the Orange Bowl and next season to declare for the NFL draft. I don't think a very big surprise there on the Jalen Hyatt front. I would have been honestly pretty shocked if he had returned back to Tennessee, but he will not be playing in the Orange Bowl. He will be going down to Miami to support his teammates in the Orange Bowl, but also will be declaring for the NFL draft as well. Your reaction to Jalen Hyatt's announcement yesterday?
Yeah, he'll also be valet parking cars at the Hyatt for his teammates. It's not a surprising decision. My called shot yesterday was not coming back, but playing in the Orange Bowl. And really, that's just because he sort of told everybody, I'm going to have an announcement coming up, you know. So I was like, oh, so maybe this isn't just what you would expect, which is thanks to Tennessee, I'm opting out.
Yeah.
But it was. So, I have no big surprise. And I mean, I think cutting down on risk and trying to prepare for this very rare opportunity makes total sense. And I noticed that there were 200. When I saw his tweet, I like quote tweet, I saw there were like 273 replies and I didn't look. I just really hope there weren't many. I know there's some. There's always going to be someone like, oh, you left your team hanging,
yeah,
you know. But I hope there weren't many. I feel like we're cutting down on that as the years go on.
I didn't notice any. That doesn't mean that they weren't there, but I didn't notice any.
Good. See, that's great. I didn't even – I still am like, I can't even look, man. I can't even look at the mentions. So, good. The comments.
Oh, yeah.
That's good to know.
Well, I was thinking about just – the story, and we've talked about it, you know, from what he went from last year to a guy that barely got on the field for Tennessee to the best wide receiver in college football this year, winning the Biletnikoff Award. I mean, it's a pretty remarkable story that in 1 year, such a dramatic turnaround in how Jalen Hyatt was viewed. I mean, we knew from the moment he stepped on the field a couple years ago, Joe, that he had a lot of ability. I mean, he played well against Alabama on that last god-awful Jeremy Pruitt team. So we knew that he had some ability out there, and for whatever reason last year, whether it was the work ethic or the opportunity, whatever it was, he just didn't find his way onto the field. And we talked a lot this offseason, even heading into fall camp, about Jalen Hyatt and the buzz that he was creating around Knoxville, and he certainly followed it up in the regular season. He wins the Biletnikoff Award, and I was, you know, we were talking about this yesterday, there's not a Tennessee fan that watched that Tennessee-Alabama game that will ever forget Jalin Hyatt's performance in that game with the 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously that's a Hendon Hooker game, and that was a game that, at the time put him in the lead for the Heisman. But there are also some people like, well, why wouldn't Jalin Hyatt be a Heisman candidate as well? I mean, just those – those plays. I mean, there's nothing like a long touchdown catch to like change a game, and he did that several times in the same game. it's just amazing. And then a couple other touchdowns to go with that too. He had the really tough the slant route late where he took a big hit. He was incredible. And yeah, think about that 21 season. And sometimes it's like, well, sometimes you see someone go in the portal after that, right? Or who knows? Tillman emerged, and Velus Jones and all those guys were Javonte Payton, and he's just kind of, sitting there. You just wonder what's going on. And this is another one of those in the spring. Every year there's always like some spring, some players, coaches talk about, and sometimes it turns into something. Sometimes it doesn't. This was one of those, if anybody's paying attention to what Josh Heupel was saying during the spring, and Alex Golish and all of them, they were seeing this coming.
I'm going to be really interested to see where he goes in the draft, because look, I mean, we're going to see 1,000 different mock drafts between now and the time the actual NFL draft happens coming up in late April. But, I've seen some that have him in the first round. I think, I was looking at Kuiper's ranking the other day. I think he's like the number 44 overall prospect or whatever it is. Like, I'm really interested to see where Jalin Hyatt ends up in the draft, because I still, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I still feel like one of the knocks on him is going to be, well, he's not all that big size-wise out there just in terms of his body mass, although he has gotten bigger. But the speed that he brings to the table, obviously, it's a pretty rare speed that he can get to. I'm very interested to see where he ends up going in the NFL draft.
Yeah, me too. I'm not ruling out the first round. I don't know that I'd predict it right now, but who knows? I mean, I think he's going to be right around there, I think. I mean, I'd be surprised if he falls below the second. I'm also really interested to see where Tillman goes. I mean, Tillman, very different kind of player, not as fast, but definitely has more of the NFL body. And, remember, he was so good before he got hurt, so dominant last year. Both those guys, I think, are going to be, prominent picks along with Hooker. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I think Hyatt will, I think Hyatt will do well, and all the things you have to do. I will say too, I mean, from a media perspective, I mean, that's the loss of flat out the best quote on the team. So I know people care about what happens to media in these situations. Let me just say, it's a very sad day for media who cover Tennessee.
Yes, it is. And then on the Tennessee front, Joe, I mean, it's confirmation now that we probably expected this heading into the Orange Bowl game, but now we know Cedric Tillman's not going to play in the Orange Bowl game, and obviously Jalin Hyatt's not going to play in the Orange Bowl game either. So, you've got Brew McCoy and Squirrel White and a bunch of guys that are going to be available to you next year if you're Tennessee with that offense. So not only just from the standpoint of obviously the game itself, you're taking on Clemson. It's a New Year's Six bowl game. It's a spot Tennessee's not been in a long time. So there's excitement enough from that standpoint. But it's also, Joe, I think a pretty good look to see of, all right, well, what exactly is Josh Heupel and this offense working with next year as they prepare for a lot of these guys, almost all these guys that are going to be playing and starting coming up on Saturday or coming up against Clemson in the Orange Bowl, you would assume have a pretty good chance to be a big part of the offense next year as well.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you look at the whole depth chart. I do think that some of these freshmen who didn't play this year, are going to be big factors. And of course there's new guys coming in. I mean, you could look at in this particular game, a Holiday and a Callaway would have played a ton, right? But I mean, if they can see, I wouldn't be surprised for them. I mean, obviously they probably expected these guys to go, so they can see what's coming behind them. In this game, they could have helped a lot. But, you know, I think Squirrel White, obviously, we know for sure White and McCoy. As you said, McCoy, I mean, you know, they're going to be key. Who's the third guy? Because, it, you know, so far what we've seen in two seasons of Tennessee is Heupel, they rotate in a little bit.
Yep.
But he has gone with three primary receivers, and they have gotten the dominant bulk of the snaps. So, White, McCoy.
I tell you who it's going to be in this game. It's going to be Ramel Keaton in this game.
Oh, Ramel Keaton for sure in this game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But next year,
right?
You know, someone like, you know, Chaz Nimrod possibly. I mean, there's very Webb. There's various possibilities, and the portal always. I mean, I can't imagine the portal would not be a real possibility for something like a McCoy, you know, for next year's team. But yeah, I mean, this is Joe Milton and Squirrel White. You know, and Brew McCoy, the chemistry, and an opportunity to kind of get momentum going next year. It's a huge game from that perspective. And if they're going to beat Clemson, you know, those guys are going to have to play well too.
Josh obviously. From Cookeville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I hope the Titans can get Tillman or Hyatt. Hyatt is a deep threat like DeSean Jackson. That'd be nice to see. Titans could definitely use some help at wide receiver, Joe. I don't think there's any question about that in the draft.
DeSean Jackson is not a terrible comparison.
It's really not.
You know, now I don't know that he's quite, you know, DeSean Jackson fast. I mean, when DeSean Jackson, you know, it is in his heyday, which it quite a stretch for quite a while, that he was kind of a different level of fast, but it's the same kind of idea.
615-737-1025. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We'll look ahead to the Titans and the Chargers coming up next. Speaking of the NFL, now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you have to do is sign up with promo code ROB. We're going to look ahead to the Titans and the Chargers coming up here in just a few minutes, but just my first glance at it right now, I'm going to go with the Chargers on the money line. I will go with Derrick Henry as an anytime touchdown scorer, but you can take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel Sportsbook, all on an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use, and they've got great live betting options every single day. So sign up today with promo code ROB for your no-sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You can make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
Well, it first starts with my mindset and my positivity and my energy that I bring every single day into this building. I think it's a quote that's going around the building right now. It says, like, you know, a rising tide, you know, kind of raises all the boats around you. So you have to be that tide of that energy, great mentality, every single day to try to raise the energy level and raise the positive vibes around here with everybody. So that's what I try to do every single day as a leader, just try to bring great energy, try to bring a positive mindset, and hopefully that'll rub off on somebody else.
That was Kevin Byard yesterday in the Titans locker room discussing his energy, his positive mindset heading into this weekend's game for the Titans against the LA Chargers. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. 1025, 1063 the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Joe Rex Road, lots of talk, lots of focus yesterday on positive mindsets, good energy, things like that heading into the game, the matchup against the Chargers. Obviously, the Titans, those questions are natural when you're on a three-game losing streak of the mindset of the team and the energy, all those things. I did feel like Vrabel was pretty intentional with some of those quotes that he had on that yesterday. What did you make about all the talk of mindset heading into this game for the Titans against the Chargers?
Yeah, well, apparently it needs some fixing. So, right? I mean, it kind of goes along with what we saw Sunday, which wasn't just random occurrences of turnovers or the, hey, every once in a while the Jaguars are going to score 29 straight points at your expense. It happens in football, you know? I mean, again, that team didn't respond well. And we're not used to seeing that. We're not used to seeing the Titans. I think, you can go through all the things like confidence, down, tendency to, to just, I don't know, to not hang in there, up, like we've just mentally strong Titans teams have been the norm, and that did not look like one. Sunday. And obviously then you have everything else that goes with it. You have a three game losing streak. You have the questions about the three game losing streak. So it's pretty clear Vrabel, I think, strategy of, okay, everything is not an absolute disaster. So what can be good? That's his job. And I think it makes sense. We'll see if it works. And, does it matter? Would be another question of mine this week. Because they can I think that they will. I said this the other day, but I don't think that this whole thing is going to just plague them the rest of the year. Like Jared and I kind of argued about this yesterday. He thinks the season's over. And like they're going to have this continued no confidence because of what Amy Adams Strunk did. I don't buy that. I think that they're, at some point you move on and maybe at some point it actually pisses you off and helps you. Who knows? But I think they're going to have a good work, week of work, but does that mean that they're going to be able to actually go win in LA against that team? I mean, I still don't like the matchup right now, the way that they're constructed.
On the injury front, C.J. Board, Treylon Burks, Christian Fulton, Dontrell Hilliard, and Robert Woods all not practicing yesterday. Now, Robert Woods dealing with an illness, so not an injury that he's dealing with, but Board with the rib, Treylon Burks still in concussion protocol, Fulton still dealing with the groin injury, and obviously we knew Dontrell Hilliard with the neck would not be participating this week. The good news, Joe, DeNico Autry, at least back out there in a limited capacity with the knee injury. I don't know what his status is necessarily going to be for the game coming up on Sunday, but good to see him at least in a limited capacity back out there on the injury front. Amani Hooker limited with the knee. Terrence Mitchell limited with the hamstring injury. And obviously Tannehill still dealing with the ankle. Simmons still dealing with the ankle and a limited participation as well. But Hassan Haskins back out there as a full participant with the hip, which could be important given the fact that Dontrell Hilliard is not going to play this week. Overall, what did you make of the Titans injury report yesterday?
Yeah, well, it's definitely good news that Autry is out there. I'm gonna take a guess that he's not gonna play this week. He's got the thing on the knee, and he's going through stuff and everything, which is good. I mean, it bodes well. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll come out and play, but it still seems like it might be a little bit early. We'll see on that. I think the big, like you said, you got, Ben Jones and a lot of guys, limited and stuff. I mean, Fulton in a game like this would be awfully handy for the Titans, and just you wonder how long that thing's gonna be, So, like today, if he's again a DNP, probably I would guess, out another week. That's a big absence in this game. You need all the corners you can get. And, Mitchell coming back would help. Mitchell and Avery. Avery's still in protocol. And by the way, Burke's still in protocol. And, obviously, this offense needs him out there. What does that mean? Is he going to miss a second straight game? I feel like in this game, even if the Titans play better defensively and affect the quarterback better, they're going to give up some points in this game. And, they're going to need to probably get into the 20s to have a chance.
This is another week, Joe, where I look at the injury report and it's just amazing. Like we just rattled off all these guys for the Titans who didn't practice yesterday. And I look down at the Chargers, and Derwin James did not practice because of the quadricep injury, and that's it. He's the only one who didn't practice.
That's
Only
it.
one didn't practice yesterday for the Chargers. I mean, they've had a couple other guys that were limited on the Wednesday, but one guy didn't practice yesterday.
I mean, they have had some bad injuries this year and like missed guys for long stretches and stuff. But yes, every week it's like, if, I mean, if this was, you know, if it had any kind of help in the game that your injury list is way bigger than the other teams. I mean, man, Titans are just kicking butt all over this league. I mean, every week, you know, their list is just way bigger. Congrats, Titans.
Yeah, I'm sure they're very proud of that, I'm sure. So I'll be honest, Joe, like the way I'm looking at this game right now, I think some of it is the dysfunction that's been around the Titans the last few weeks. Some of it, obviously, has been the performance. They've lost three in a row, including in the last two games where they've just gotten shelled by the Eagles and the Jags. And then most of it, to me, honestly, is looking at the roster right now and the injuries that they're dealing with and all these different things that we've discussed. And I look at this game, Joe, and I don't know that I'm seeing much of a path to victory for the Titans. And we've talked about this before. The Titans have won some of these games before that we've talked about, you know, not seeing a path to victory for them. But I just, with the way that Justin Herbert looked the other night, with, you know, that roster with the Chargers getting healthy and just the state the Titans are in right now, I think they are in for an uphill battle coming up on Sunday as things stand here today, unless they get some serious help on the injury front, because we know how bad their offensive line is. And if Treylon Burks isn't in there, we know what that does to limit this offense. I'm not seeing it right now for the Titans against the Chargers.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get that. I also would not look at this as a good matchup for them right now. I can't say I love their chances either. I mean, one question I have is just, can they be in a fourth quarter game? I know it's only been two games, but so much has happened. It seems like they just get blown out all the time now, right?
Yeah.
They don't. Like, usually they're in good games. They've been blown out three times this year. Two of them, you know, at Buffalo, at Philly. Sobering, because we've been asking this year about them, you know, competing at the highest level and all that. But still, kind of understandable. And, of course, the other blowout is to Jacksonville. But it's been a couple in a row. So, like, can they get back into just being competitive in a game and being in a fourth quarter game? You know, because I'm not ruling out. I mean, we've seen too many good performances when it didn't look great from a matchup perspective to just rule it out. But what is the path? Well, first of all, you know, the Chargers are a bad rush defense. They are the worst, in fact, rush defense in the NFL.
Yep.
At 5.4 per rushing play, 5.4 yards. 28th of the 147, you know, given up, and overall their defense is 30th. You know, they have a lot of talent. Now they have had injuries, so you know that's part of it. But that's it, and it has not worked out in other matchups this year where it's like, this team's terrible stopping the run. Yeah, but they just, their entire game plan is stopping Derrick Henry, and they did a good job. But obviously, to me, that's the path, is Derrick Henry takes the first quarter from last week and, you know, can you get yourself to like a 150 plus yard game and a controlling of the ball kind of game? That's where it starts. And that is, I mean, that's, hey, he's still there. I mean, there are still players on this team who can, I think, make this a better game. He's one of them. I look at the other side of the ball. I look, obviously, Simmons, but, you know, Bud Dupree. I mean, you're going to have like a wrecking game from him at some point. While these other guys are banged up, if they want to, you know, beat any of these good teams with good offenses.
Well, and to that point, there's one part of this Titans defense that it's starting to become a trend since Denico Autry has been out, and that is getting after the pass rusher. They just are getting after the passer. They've not been able to do it really ever since Denico Autry's gone out of the lineup. They can't get after the quarterback, and if he's not in there again this week, will that change? I mean, you do have Bud Dupree, and you do have Jeffrey Simmons, and, you know, Rashad Weaver's been decent at rushing the passer at times this year. So it's not like you have guys that are totally incapable of doing it out there. But for whatever reason, Joe, ever since Denico Autry has been out of the lineup, they've just not really done a very good job of getting after the quarterback. And if you don't do that on Sunday, I don't know how much of a chance you're going to have.
Yeah, I mean, you're then basically just counting on Justin Herbert having an awful day throwing the football, you know, because he's gonna sit back there and he's gonna take his shots, and he's got really good receivers. So, it's there's no, yeah, the path is running the ball for sure, and just off that, you know, having a good offensive day, I think that's possible. You know, the Chargers are, again, you look at the Chargers, they're the worst rush defense. You know, their rush offense is 3.72 a carry, 30th in the NFL, but they don't care. They look at
They're
the
not even going
Titans
to
and
try.
say, yeah, they'll throw it to Eckler, and he's a real weapon that way. And then, and you know, I'm sure what they do, they do not mind this matchup with the Titans defense, the way they're playing right now.
What do you think of the matchup for the Titans against the Chargers? Let us know on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. Jared Stillman joining the program at 7 o'clock, and Predators head coach John Hines will be with us at 7:30. So looking forward to all that. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text line. Speaking of which, I have some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Montreal Canadiens at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, January 3rd. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Canadiens at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, January 3rd, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, getting back into Titans-Chargers, a popular topic of conversation yesterday with Vrabel and with Ryan Tannehill was the second half and what's going on in the second half and why there's been such a disconnect in terms of just the points that have been scored. And, you know, we've talked about this, and just over 5 points a game in the second half is the average for the Titans. As you look at it, Joe, based on numerically what is a pretty big difference from the first half to the second half, what's your best guess, your best theory for maybe the different factors that have played into it and why it's been so consistently a problem for the Titans so far this year?
You know, every game is different, and there are, if you wanted to go through any of these games, and we've done this on a lot of different Mondays, and remember, especially earlier in the season when they were just getting shut out in the second half, you know,
yeah.
We go through the drives, and you know, Vrabel did this the other day and, you know, talked about the penalty. There's a killer penalty from Swaim. I don't remember if that was that a chop block. It was a 15-yarder.
I think so, yeah.
It was a half the distance, you know, so then you're way behind the sticks and all that. So there's an example of that. That's a player mistake, okay, which happens. And so I'm sure there's player execution and all that, but – I mean, I do think that the big picture of other team anticipating what you're doing, you know, a little bit better has to be part of it, right? I can't imagine that that's not a part of this. I mean, again, coaching adjustments. What does that mean? Out-coached. What does that mean? You know, give me specifics on someone getting out-coached or out-adjusted. It's easy to say it, but what does it actually mean? The Titans, I mean, they do a lot of the same things. And if the same things that they do that everybody knows they're going to do, if they don't work, they're screwed. Okay. I mean, you're not going to fool people too much in this league. You know, you have a few plays every game where you're going to spring a surprise. You're going to break tendencies and you hope that it works. And the defense you're going against is going to also try to break tendencies and do different things. But for the most part, you're going to be what you are. Week to week, And the thing is, this is what they are now. They're a team that they better score a lot in the first half, basically, because they're not going to score in the second half. I don't see how anybody could honestly look at that and not point to coaching as a big chunk of it.
Right. Like, I think just about every discussion that we have, whether it's second half struggles to score offensively, whether it's, you know, the big argument we had a couple of years ago with the defense, is it the coordinator, is it the personnel? I think a lot of times it's more than one answer when you start to dissect some of these problems. It is pretty stark to me, Joe, though, that in the first half, particularly, I mean, you can go back through the games this year, like the opening drive of how good they've been with some of these scripted plays or scripted drives, however you want to put it. I think they're ninth in the NFL right now in points in the first half, and then it just totally flips on them in the second half of games. And like you said, I don't think the Titans are trying to do, you know, really anything all that much differently in the second half than they are in the first half in some of these games. I just think that for whatever reason, it's not working for them. And that is that coaching? I think, yeah, that's part of that. The adjustment part of it's interesting because I think you hit on something yesterday that is absolutely true. Like, there's adjusting that takes place, or at least should take place, throughout the whole game. I mean, when you see Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry walking off the field and the broadcast shows them over there on the tablet, that's what they're doing. Like, they're looking through things and adjusting with the offensive coordinator. So it's not like halftime is the only time where you can make adjustments throughout the football game. So it's just really weird to me how, I mean, successful they've been in the first half offensively. Like I just said, they're in the top 10 in points in the first half, and then it just totally flips and they're terrible in the second half. Is it coincidence? I think there's too much of a sample size at this point, Joe, for me to believe it's purely coincidence.
Yeah, and this also goes along with what we have come to expect, which is we've come to expect, like in the fourth quarter of games, for the running game to be at its best, right? I mean, that's been a lot of the success of the Titans in the last few years is that you get to that fourth quarter of a close game, maybe you're up a touchdown, maybe you're down a one score. It's a one score game either way, and you have a tired defense and you run the ball, and then because you're running the ball so effectively and they're tired, now the play action's even more effective. And so it just hasn't been a problem before this year. So why is that not coming about? You know, why are they not getting stronger? Now, I was going to say an even late season. Now, granted, Derrick Henry did end up with a good number Sunday. So that goes on in the record books as a good Derrick Henry December game, in which he's had a ton of, right? But it was a weird one too, because it was all in the first quarter. Yeah. And then he has 20, 25 yards the rest of the game. He has, you know, now let's be real. I've seen some people, you know, like Rip Downing for three carries or whatever he had the second half. I mean, when you're down a million points, you're not gonna run him a ton. Okay. Right. So it's just situational. In this last game, and you have to take that into account. You also shouldn't try the direct snap crap, but hey, that's a different thing altogether. No, I don't think it can be a coincidence, and I think it's like the best coordinating is, again, you're a little step ahead of the D coordinator that you're going against, and I thought that was the case when the Titans played in Green Bay. And it just hasn't been, I just don't think it's been the case much this year. There are limitations, and comparing Todd Downing to, to Arthur Smith 2 years ago. I mean, it's the personnel. I mean, Arthur Smith's better, but like the personnel difference is vast. It's vast. Arthur Smith did not have a swinging gait at left tackle and no AJ Brown, right? He had Derrick Henry at his absolute best. There's a lot that's different. But at the same time, I just haven't felt, I mean, I think for the most part, D coordinators are getting the best of Todd Downing, whether it's quote unquote halftime adjustments or not, it's always adjustments. And for the most part, they seem to have him pegged pretty well.
Well, it is interesting though. like you brought up a great point where traditionally, you know, the Titans and specifically Derrick Henry, as a game goes on, the idea is he wears people down by the time the fourth quarter comes around. And, you know, I'm just going through the schedule here. How many times this year has Derrick Henry really worn someone down and that they've been better running the ball in the second half than they were in the first half? I mean, the Houston game I would definitely put in that category. Other than that, there's not much. Like, a lot of – I mean, even the other day, like you said, first quarter, he ran all over the Jags. Not much going on after that. You think back to earlier this year, Kansas City, he ran all over the Chiefs in the first half. And there wasn't much going on in the second half there. Now, I realize – that was a different type of game, and Malik Willis was the quarterback. But the bottom line is, Joe, you can look back through the schedule, and it's not been the case very often this year where the running game, and specifically Derrick Henry, has been what we're used to seeing out of the running game in the second half, and that is wearing teams down. It really hasn't happened this year.
Yeah, I mean, but God, is that actually the only game? I mean, because the Houston game is you know, the Houston game was just the entire game. It was just, oh, my gosh. I mean, it was
I mean, he was good
domination.
Against Indy throughout pretty much both times. But even the first game at Indy, a lot of that came in the first half.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, the Commanders game, it was – I mean, they did a pretty good job. I mean, he grinded out 102 yards. So, you know, I mean, he had a little. But that wasn't – yeah, I mean, for the most part, it just hasn't been – it just hasn't been the same thing. So – I don't know why that is. I mean, the offensive line is different too. You look at that, you know, it's a different offensive line. It's not as good, but that's something that you have come to rely on and expect to see. And I really don't know. I mean, like, again, in that case, when you talk about OC, I mean, to me, you do give the ball to Derrick Henry in the second half. You're built around giving the ball to Derrick Henry in the second half, but it's just teams are just not having more problems with it in the second half like we're used to seeing them. That's a tough one to figure for me.
Coming up next, we'll have the best and worst things in the world of sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in the world of sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, as you do every week, would you like to kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
Yeah, did I do two worst last week?
You did.
Joe.
Dude, I don't know what's going on with me. I am like, to me, the worsts are just swirling around. I feel like it's a buffet of worsts, okay? I mean, it is an absolute buffet of worsts, and it's hard to pick. The good thing is with the worsts, I think I can pick whatever, and you guys will have a continued nice buffet table of worsts to pick from. But, man, I'm struggling on a best. I am struggling on a best. It's obviously around here, it's just been, you know, a lot of bad sports stuff, you know. I will go for my best because I have to pick. I can't do two worse again, right? Like, I can't do
no.
It's the holiday season. I mean, come on, man. So my best, I will go, you know, it was not pretty, but in the press box at Nissan the other day, streaming the Vols Maryland game. The Tennessee dominated the first half up 34-17, had to grit one out. But they don't have Josiah James. They didn't have Jonas Adu in that game. They suffocated a ranked team. That is a basketball team with a lot of potential to be really good. And I'll take it beyond that. SEC, men's basketball this year is, I think, potentially as good as it's been in a long time. It is really good with Arkansas. Alabama has two wins over two different number ones this year. Kentucky's going to be fine. I mean, they're good. They're going to be better than that moving forward. Mississippi State's unbeaten. It's a loaded league. Auburn's going to be right there. Loaded league. So
what about Vandy?
Be my best, okay? Vandy is not very good. Lost to Grambling State. And, you know, the thing about Vanderbilt is, man, I mean, you know, they've played some good games. You know, they've gotten some decent wins. But in this league this year, boy, it's going to be tough sledding for them. So there you go. There's another worst. Thanks, Robbie. You're just welcome. Added another worst to my pile. So my worst, there's a lot of great options, but I am going to go with, you know, the worst possible thing. You know, two deaths in the sports world, you know, that are just awful. And Mike Leach, of course, is one of them. And we've talked about him this week and what he meant to so many people. Bruce Feldman was great yesterday talking about him. And Mike Leach was just absolutely one of a kind. People use the term one of a kind. I mean, he was one of a kind.
Oh, yeah.
But also Grant Wall, his death in Qatar. I will say, because, look, I had the same thought as I think a lot of people. I mean, he got detained. He was wearing a pride shirt in Qatar, and I absolutely commend his courage. I commend, you know, Grant Wall is an incredible writer, journalist. I didn't know him, but an incredible person. I know a lot of people who are very close to him, and not many people, you know, it's pretty across the board on what kind of person he was. And his willingness to speak out on the corruption of FIFA and Qatar getting the World Cup and all that stuff. That's where I had this, you know, immediate thought when he passed away, like, oh my God, you know, what has happened? His wife, I give her credit for putting out, you know, the autopsy results, and she said, you know, he basically had a heart condition and it was not foul play and all that, which is, I mean, you know, I'm glad she did that, but it's just a huge loss, someone who's, you know, 48 years old. So those two are my worst.
Michelle Knezovic, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, well, I will move to my worst as well and go off Joe's, but obviously those were two bad things that happened this week. But also, we haven't talked about this at all on the show yet, but University of Texas men's basketball coach Chris Beard was arrested earlier this week. I think it happened on Monday or Tuesday. I remember the news coming out during our show, but, you know, just a really awful domestic situation. There hasn't been really news on who the victim is in this, but if you read the police report, it is very gruesome and what happened and what he did. University of Texas came out with a statement basically saying that they've released him without pay, which is great. I think he should be fired. If you read the police report, it says he strangled somebody. So just a horrific situation as a whole. I hope this is one of the situations that, you know, doesn't just eventually get swept under the rug and he's allowed to keep his job. So let's hope that the University of Texas does the right thing, especially if we find out more information on this. And then moving to my best thing in sports to get a little positivity in there. So actually, Jim Wyatt put this out earlier this week. Jeffrey Simmons started a new foundation called Give Him a Reason Foundation. And he posted a video earlier this week. Jeffrey surprised 12 kids from Franktown Open Hearts with a $200 shopping spree. And he also took them to dinner. So it's always great seeing these guys, you know, we talk to them in the locker room and on the practice field and they're full football mode. But then when you see stories like this of them giving back to these young kids, and I could only imagine being a young kid, you know, meeting an NFL star, right? They're probably so starstruck. And then for him during the holiday season to treat them to a shopping spree and dinner and just be able to speak to them and give back to his community is pretty awesome.
Very nice.
Good one.
I think y'all have both done a pretty good job of nailing what the worst has been this week. As you said, Joe, it's been a week where there's a lot of different worsts to choose from, unfortunately. So, like, y'all have handled that pretty well. I've got two bests this week. Number one,
yes, Robbie.
I don't know how many people saw this because I didn't even know it was happening until I was flipping around the TV and it was on the other night. But the match with Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy was on, and they played at nighttime, like under the lights at this golf course in Tampa on Saturday night. And it was awesome. They were mic'd up. It was, I mean, Charles Barkley was on it. And he was, you know, going back and forth with everybody out there in the course. It was great. I watched a few holes of it. It was awesome. So, if golf was like that every time, I'd be tuning in every week. It was great stuff at the match the other night. So that's one. And the other one is Jalen Hurts. I got to say, number one, I've always, despite him being a former Alabama quarterback, have always been a pretty big fan of Jalen Hurts. I just have admired the way that he kind of handles himself and the way that he's handled different types of adversity. I was pretty wrong about him. I remember the A.J. Brown trade going down and saying, yeah, I just don't know about Jalen Hurts and the quarterback situation, whether or not A.J. Brown is going to really like that upgrade or like that trade-off there with Jalen Hurts. And I got to tell you, that guy's really good. And look, I don't – honestly, if I had an MVP vote, I don't know who I'd give it to right now between him and Mahomes. I think you can make a pretty good argument either way. But the fact that he's even in that discussion, I think, is pretty awesome for Jalen Hurts. So I will give Jalen Hurts my best thing in sports. He's been pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's no, we both. I mean, he's way exceeded what I thought he'd be, for sure. So, I mean, it's kind of like the next Josh Allen situation where early in a career, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's not going to be very good. And actually got way better as a passer in the NFL. So I swear you never see that, but we've seen it with Josh Allen. I think we've seen it with Jalen Hurts now too. So good call. So the Titans and Preds get totally left out of the worst.
Well, you know, maybe in different weeks, they could both qualify.
I mean, I think right now they'd be, you know, decent contenders. It's just that, like, there's so much other worse stuff going on. But Right. Good job finding two best, man.
Thank you.
And by the way, did we ever have Kenny launching Shaq into the tree? Because that should be an eternal best.
Oh, yes, yeah. Best.
That should be an evergreen best.
Just absolutely amazing what we saw last week. You can check out the best and worst things in sports every Thursday morning at 6:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Jared Stillman to recap another victory for Joe Rexroad yesterday in Jared versus Joe. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5 The Game. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. We got a little Thursday night football action tonight, and Superbook is going to help you make a little bit extra cash this holiday season. They want to know if you can make your parlays pop this holiday season. Win some money from Vegas with the weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports. If you place a three-team football parlay, Superbook will give you a $10 bonus voucher. It's your holiday bonus, courtesy of Superbook Sports. Like I said, we got Thursday night football coming up tonight. San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks. The Niners are favored by 3. Listen, I think Purdy's going to get it done. I think the San Francisco defense will be able to handle the Seahawks. So give me San Francisco minus the 3. And listen, if you pick two other games that are happening this weekend and you make it a three-team football parlay, Superbook will give you a $10 bonus voucher to your holiday bonus, courtesy of Superbook. So rack up the wins, earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Download the Superbook Tennessee app, place your parlays today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.